It's Thursday, January 24th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest-running tech podcast, show number 830, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a .com for $2.95 by using the promo code GEEK295. GNC is also sponsored in part by DYN. That's Dyn.com. Get 30% off their DNS and EDM products and services. Hey, folks, this is kind of cool. Two shows in a row. Got a great one lined up for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
And welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the Lone Star State via the Geek News Central HD mobile broadcast studio. We are live in green screen, as you can see. We're sitting here in the data center, and you may be able to hear in the background the roar of my Dell laptop here that is definitely stressing hard with everything that I'm throwing at it tonight. And I can't figure out why. It's really not been giving any harder lifting duties than what it has had in the past, but it's definitely freaking out in a big way. It's you can just hear it here. So if you hear it running during the show, hey, there's nothing I can do about it. Everyone, welcome to the show. Welcome to the second show in a row. Of course, did a show last night, kind of as a catch-up show to get back in the saddle after being down and out for, boy, it seemed like forever. But I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana and listeners from around the world. If you're new to the show, Ohana means family. Of course, I'm originally do the show out of Hawaii. And over the next month or so, I'm going to be doing the show really from the road continuously for about the next 3+ weeks before we get back in the studio in Honolulu. So I hope you enjoyed the road show, and we try to keep the show standards as high as it is when we're at home. That can be a bit of a challenge because I have a few more buttons to push when it comes to actually putting the show together. But we definitely want you to check out geeknewscentral.com. If you haven't been over there, make sure you go over and check out the website. We've got lots of great stuff going on with lots of content being put up on the website right now. And boy, that didn't look so good, did it? There it goes. It's loading now. With all the content finally starting to really come to fruition on the website for stuff that we covered in Vegas, and lots of different videos are being going to put up by the team. We got to get the guys to start putting in the backgrounds and stuff, but there's going to be so much stuff in the special media feed over the next month. You want to stay subscribed and be checking that on a daily basis. And how you subscribe to the special media feed is really you go to the second column of the website, and you're going to find a link there that says GNC Special Media Events. If you click on that feed and get subscribed to it via iTunes, set it up so that you get all of the content, not just the last three episodes. You'll get a lot of great video content from the show, lots of 3 to 5 minute videos. So all this stuff, of course, will be up at geeknewscentral.com as well. Along with that, of course, we've got lots of great content that the writers are putting forth on the website from regular articles, breaking in tech news. And, of course, we'll have this show, The Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, who just put out a new episode today. I think the Gadget Professor is due to pump out an episode tonight as well. So definitely come over to the website at geeknewscentral.com and get subscribed. And really, that is the best way to follow. We also have a newsletter. The newsletter goes out immediately following the show and has really everything I'm going to talk about tonight, including all the links to all the articles. Well, we do want to remind you that you can contact me, and it's real easy to do so. You can do it via Twitter, at Geek News. And I do appreciate the shout-outs on Geek News and direct tweets for those of you that sent me well wishes from being sick. But you can also email the show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And our hotline is open 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. I want to remind you we're members of the Tech Podcast Network, and you can watch this show and many others on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. We're all over there on apps and channels, so definitely get that hooked up. And if not, you can watch, of course, on the website via your iPad or via your Android device or with your browser, which many of you do. And, of course, again, the contact information is you can reach out to me at any time. And we basically cover everyone. Everyone that calls or sends email to the show, those get read within the show itself. I usually do it near the end of the show. And, positive and negative comments are definitely covered. So we want to thank any of you that are giving feedback. We do want to thank our primary sponsor here at GeekNewsCentral.com. We want to thank good friends over at GoDaddy.com for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. And I tell you, we've got some great deals this month. We've got a $2.95.com. You get up to three of them by using the promo code Geek295. Over at GoDaddy.com. If you click on the link on the website, what it's going to do, it's going to take you directly over to GoDaddy, and they're basically, the information's right there on the website on how you can get your domains at $2.95, and this is really a great product. Now, we've also got another deal going on right now in conjunction with the $2.95 deal at GoDaddy, and if I can get flipped back here. They've got this new product called Website Builder. And Website Builder is, it's designed for folks that, are not really technical savvy. It's designed to get online in minutes. They've got stunning templates. It's instantly mobile. Hosting is included. It's a super cheap deal, and we got this promo code where you get 50% off by using WST50. Their claim to fame on this too is also how fast pages load, and that's really important when it comes to getting people to stay on your website for more than the 2 or 3 seconds that they normally do before they bounce. That's really, if it takes 7 seconds for your page to load, you've lost them already. So the 2.47 second average load time is incredibly fast. They've also got this spread out, their server spread out worldwide to help with the loading of the images and everything else. So with over 17,000 servers around the world, basically, they use that leverage to help your site load quicker. And, of course, they've got over 5 million sites that are being hosted on this offer, on this website builder. And this is really a big, big deal. And we want you to make sure that you get hooked up with the website builder and really get online quick. Now, they've also started to announce some of their 2013 Super Bowl commercials. And, of course, we're probably going to have Danica Patrick. She's probably going to be on one of those commercials. And you know GoDaddy has changed its tenor recently. You'll notice a lot more geeks and maybe not as many chicks, which will make will make some folks pretty happy. Because, they've really taken a lot of heat over the years in some of their ads, but I think they're going to put together a pretty good ad set for the Super Bowl and a little bit fun, a little quirky, and something to talk about. But, of course, Danica here has talked about Geek News Central as well, and here's a little message from Danica.
Hi, this is Danica Patrick, racing star and GoDaddy girl. I rely on my race team to make my cars lean and mean. And I know the geek here at Geek News Central relies on the team at GoDaddy for lean, mean web products like domain names, hosting, and email. Check out all of Todd's great GoDaddy deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy.
Thanks, Danica, for that. And, of course, again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy for all of the promo codes. And, boy, there's a pile of them there. I think I've got 12 or 13 for you to choose from. There's a code there for every occasion. So definitely thanks, GoDaddy, for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. And definitely check them out. And we appreciate their ongoing support. Really not a lot to really kind of go over, except that Rob Greenlee, my co-host on Saturday Morning Tech, we have got one of the lead people, or one of the lead person over at Slate, is going to be our guest on Saturday. So I think you'll enjoy that. We're going to get started at 9 a.m. Pacific time. We're going to be doing a Google Hangout this time. This is a really kind of the way that I feel I can do the show the best when I'm on the road. Instead of having two people Skype in, we're going to do the Hangout right here on... basically, I'll be pushing it live from the from my hotel studio. And so anyway, should be a great conversation. We're going to talk about podcasting, new media, what Slate's doing, how they're growing. And we're also going to be talking about the latest tech. 60 to 90 minutes, I think, is what we've got scheduled. So I hope you'll join me for our first on-the-road Saturday Morning Tech this coming Saturday. And we look forward to doing that. Hey, I've got a lot of, you know, I kind of was worried, having done the show last night, I was worried if there was going to be enough content for today. And boy, I tell you, there was no issue in finding content whatsoever. There was plenty of it in the stack. And we'll go into a few of those articles right now and talk a little bit about some stuff that has made news over the past 24 hours and stuff that has percolated at the top. I had paid attention to an article I'd seen maybe a week ago talking about how restaurants are now starting to forbid their customers from taking pictures of food. It appears that some of these hip establishments are handing or just flat out outlawing photography in their restaurants. There are some restaurant owners that are now saying, here, let me take your camera back in the kitchen. Let me take a picture of your plate before you touch it, before you mess up our presentation. And, you know, I'm really thinking to myself, okay, how can they tell you can't take a picture of your food? It would make me want to just say, well, show them my middle finger and not eat there. You know, you're probably not going to have a problem if you want to take a picture of your Big Mac, but if you go into some upscale restaurants, they may say no way, Jose, when it comes to taking pictures. And I don't know if they're worried about their food being represented wrong or if there's so many people putting stuff up on review sites that, you know, just one wrong little angle or look of the food may cause someone not to go there. For me, I don't care how the food looks on the plate when it's delivered. All people are all worried about this presentation, right? I when I grind, and that's I guess a universal term, but it's something we use in Hawaii. Like when you grind, and the food is good, who cares what the presentation? As long as they just don't slop it on, you know, they throw me a pork chop on there and some, you know, some mashed potatoes or something. As long as it's not just slammed, as long as it tastes good, who cares if it's got a little piece of parsley or a little ornate orange or something off this? Who cares? You know, that to me is just like foo-foo stuff. I don't care. I go to some place, I spend my hard-earned money, I want it to taste good. I could care less. You know, my wife on the other hand, it's all about the presentation. Oh my God, look at that plate. Isn't that beautiful? And I'm just like, okay, whatever. And maybe that's a guy, a girl thing. I don't know. But we'll see how this, if this actually shows up more across the country and if it starts being an issue at different restaurants around the country. But snap those pictures of food and post them. Please do it and tell me where the good places are to eat as I travel around the country. But The Verge broke into this a little bit, and we'll keep an eye on how this develops over time. One thing I had to laugh about, excuse me, and I don't have a cough suppressor here, you know, this there's been this big, huge debate, obviously still going on in D.C. about the gun stuff, and you know, you can be one side or the other, or in between, and usually it's kind of like talking politics and religion. It's probably just a topic better left unsaid amongst people that you don't have a lot of insight on and where their preferences lay. I saw over on Ogizmo that there is a new tool that's going to be used by law enforcement. And what it is when the law enforcement is in a riot situation. And what they're going to do is they're putting together a pistol or a rifle that's loaded with some very special pellets that mark the target with an indelible DNA-based substance. So basically what this does, it makes it possible to positively identify and arrest the perpetrators later. There's less danger in doing so. And it's better than color markers because of the specificity of the DNA makes it possible to link them to a particular crime rather than leaving the open the opportunity to claim that the ink come from somewhere else. Each pistol or rifle has an effective range of about 130 feet, and each pellet in a pack has the same DNA identifying code. This DNA is synthetic, meaning that the number of possible unique codes is infinite. Further, it cannot be analyzed without prior knowledge of the key codes, and therefore can't be copied by any third party. So this is apparently something that is in development. But this kind of freaks me out to think that law enforcement might be shooting suspects with pellets. These are non-penetrating pellets that contain DNA on them that basically embeds itself in your skin, and they can, find you later and, I guess, scrape your skin and determine you've been exposed to this. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, there's enough funky stuff running around the world. I don't think I want to be involved in getting shot by a pellet that has some kind of weird DNA stuff in it. It's pretty scary if you think about it. You know, DNA today, nerve agents tomorrow. You know, this is not a joking matter. And it weirds me out quite a bit. Love to hear what you guys have to think about this. Something like this coming to market for law enforcement to use. But drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, I want to talk just a little bit here on the next show. If everything goes right, we're going to be streaming for the very first time on basically a new BitTorrent protocol. And basically what it is as more people watch the show live, as long as you participate, you're going to be helping and distribute this show live. And I'm hoping that on Monday, when I do the show Monday, that a number of you will check in when we start the show. And I'm going to probably try to start between 7:30 and 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. So if you have a chance to join us on Monday to watch the stream live, when the stream loads, you may be asked to install a client. Now, this is part of a test from the folks over at BitTorrent.com, and this is a perfectly safe. It's being used by the folks, but I've been asked to give this beta a try, and I hope that you guys will participate with it. And I guess it's going to, you know, I'll be able to see through the system how many people actually help to distribute the show. So what will happen is you'll have some bandwidth being downloaded that will be used to, you know, display it on your screen, while at the same time as more people come on the stream, you'll send out a trickle of bandwidth to people that are on the stream to help distribute and crowdsource the bandwidth for the show. Now, what my goal is hopefully by CES 2014, we're going to have this down to the point where we're going to be able to run the stream on the new BitTorrent system and not have to spend the $6,000 that we did last year to this year for bandwidth. We're going to, I think, make the leap and really try not to have to have that big bandwidth bill at CES next year to bring some of our extraordinary costs down for the show. And but anyway, we're going to see what happens with this, and I hope that you'll join me Monday for this test. And you guys will be able to give me feedback in the chat room. A lot of you are not used to me being back online because I was off for a couple of weeks and this new time. So make sure you're paying attention, 7:30 to about 8 o'clock Central Standard Time on Monday, and we'll get this down. Now, speaking of peer-to-peer stuff, the folks over at the Pirate Bay, I guess the site's been down for a couple of days. It's talked about being offline. Don't know what's going on there, but... it appears that they are having some issues. I don't know if they're being blocked or servers got took down, but if you use the Pirate Bay, they are currently offline. If you've been accustomed to jailbreaking your phone, I just want to let you know that unlocking your smartphone will be illegal starting next week. The Library of Congress determined in October of last year that certain actions involving mobile phones were illegal under the DMCA. The rules were revised to state that while it's legal to jailbreak smartphones, it is illegal to jailbreak tablets and illegal to unlock phones without permission from your wireless provider. So anyway, what's going to happen, that window closes and basically you will be illegal to jailbreak tablets and illegal to unlock phones starting on January 26th. You know, most carriers already lock their phones, and, you know, some are delivered unlocked, but the majority of them are not. So be aware that that is forthcoming. I doubt anyone's going to get prosecuted, but the way these mobile providers are, who knows? One thing I like about this hotel, they deliver me two bottles of water every day. It's absolutely fantastic. Cisco has decided to sell to Linksys to Belkin. So if you are a Linksys fan, Belkin is picking up the Linksys brand. And so Belkin is going to grow considerably, but Cisco is going to exit the home networking market. So this is big. This is a big deal. They're going to sell routers. Basically, they're going to sell their wireless and wireless routers and wireless access points, which is big. So I don't know how much this is going down for, but you know, the product will probably continue. Belkin said in an announcement that Belkin intends to maintain, the Libsyn brand, and will offer support for Linksys products as part of the transaction. All valid warranties will be honored by Belkin for current and future Linksys products. After the transaction closes, Belkin will account for approximately 30% of the U.S. retail, home, and small business networking market. But Linksys is now going to become a subsidiary, or I guess wholly owned by the folks at Belkin. So a very interesting move indeed. Samsung is rumored, wait till you guys see this, Samsung is rumored to have an 8-inch Android tablet, and it really kind of looks like a smartphone. And there's an article over on Ars Technica on this, and let me bring this up and give you guys a quick shot of this. But it really looks like a Samsung Galaxy phone, and this was this tablet was seen on discovered on an Italian technology site, Digital Day Revolution, and they can't confirm whether or not the product in the picture was a prototype or the final product. But again, it looks like a blown up, flattened out Galaxy S3 smartphone. And right down to the physical home key and captive buttons featured on the device side. So who knows if this was a jury-rigged image or what. But that's the rumor control on... It kind of makes sense. But come on, you know, Samsung, we'll talk about some of their earnings reports a little bit later in the show. They definitely could have, got their game together a little bit and come up with a little bit different design. before they introduce this. Hey, want to take just a second here and talk about our new sponsor here at Geek News Central, and I really want you guys to pay attention here because we've got a great product offering. You know, you want a faster internet, right? You know, you want your websites to load quicker, and you want to make sure that if your DNS providers go down, you have a secondary route to your website. And this is where DYN.com comes in. With outsourced DNS, you can make sure people can get to your website at all times. With managed DNS, you can even connect items like your webcams or DVR to a private channel that you can pull from at any time. If your business relies on that contact list of yours, then Dyn's email solutions can get your message to clients and customers quickly. You can send secure email, bulk email, and even set up high volume mailboxes right on Dyn's delivery services. And that's really important when you're pushing a lot of email. When we send our mailing at Raw Voice, we push 11,000 to 13,000 emails in really just a few minutes. And you have to have a high performance system that can handle pushing that bulk email. And Dyn's delivery service really is a game changer when it comes to doing that. So, you know, most important really, we're in the middle of a switch to IPv6. And IPv6, you're going to hear more and more about it. Many of you probably already on your computers, you don't even know it. You're probably getting assigned an IPv6 IP, but maybe on your web hosting account, you're not. So Dyn is ahead of that game as well. So if your provider, you know, here's the important part. If your web host provider goes down, your website and services still can be accessible when others won't by using Dyn.com's service. You know, it's simple. Get faster internet by using Dyn for DNS. Simply visit dyn.com/podcast30. And really what we want you to do is fill out the contact form or start shopping right away and save 30% by using the promo code podcast30 at checkout. Once again, visit dyn.com/podcast30. And you know, I've talked about Dyn already on, you know, in the previous show on their services and how I use it. And you know, this really for me, the product that I love the most is their dynamic DNS service. The dynamic DNS service allows me, and if you're looking at my, if you're watching the show right now, I'm popping up a little box, and within this box, there's a little dynamic DNS client that's running. And what happens is every time I log on to the internet and my computer gets a new IP, it logs with Dyn and says, hey, Todd's laptop is now known at such and such address. And what that allows me to do is I have security set up on my server so that when I come to the server, it has to basically validate my computer. My personal computer has to validate. It says, yeah, that's Todd's machine. And how it knows that it's my machine is because I have a dynamic domain name mapped to this computer and the IP that I'm coming for. It's really slick, and it allows me to have a level of security on my personal server that is pretty incredible. Because if I'm not on this machine and I'm on someone else's machine and I try to log into my server says, no, I don't know who you are. So what I have is I have two or three backups. I have my machine at home and another laptop that's set up to be able to, when it logs on, it updates with with the dynamic DNS. And basically those machines are known by my servers as authorized agents to be able to log into. I still have all the other security stuff like passwords and the heavy authentication and all that, but it really gives me a higher level of security on my personal servers because my servers know not to let anybody in through the firewall unless they are really authenticated. And Dyn.com does that for me with their dynamic DNS service. That's one of the ways I use Dyn, and it's really, really slick, and I've been using them for years, and I'm real happy that they're a sponsor here. So again, use that 30% off. Get 30% off at Dyn.com. Again, podcast30 is the promo code, Dyn.com/podcast30. 8:30. So let's go ahead and get back into the content. Hey, just saw Rob Greenlee jumped in the chat room. Rob, welcome. Look forward to doing Saturday Morning Tech with you on Saturday via Google Hangout. Should be a lot of cool. Should be real cool to do that. I'm looking forward to have the guest from Slate on. And so it'll be really fun. Hey, on the last show, I told you that what I wanted to do, I wanted to start talking about different things that are going to be transformational, things that are going to change the way we live and the way we work on the internet. And on the last show, we talked about Forbes' article on Google basically having, with their Google automated cars, probably $1 trillion worth of, you know, basically it's a trillion dollar business that's going to change a lot of things when we basically get in our cars and say, drive us to work or wherever we need to go. But one of the things that I think that may be coming down the road and is actually being looked at and is an article that's over in Ars today talking about singularity. And, you know, if any of you watched one of the, what is the name of the movie series? It was, I believe, Battlestar Galactica. And of course, the Cylons that were basically, you could regenerate a person, or they could have multiple Cylons that would have these brains embedded that all had the same downloads. So what happens when they get to the point where, and they think this is going to be possible in the next 10 to 20 years, humans are potentially going to be able to upload, maybe not necessarily their conscience, but their memories and a lot of the things that's in their brains and potentially live forever. Now, this is really going way out there. Let's think about the impact of this. And, you know, would you like to live forever if it was possible? Would you, you know, like the Matrix, be able to plug in and download? You know, so if humanity does somehow be able to determine how to do this, if they're able to figure this out and able to upload ourselves, we're able to upload ourselves into the digital space, you know, would this change us forever? Would we quit being, first of all, if it was possible, would you? And the second part of that is to what level of functionality would you have? Would you be able to live in a virtual world where there was, you know, digitally no difference than from what it is now in the physical world? So this is a pretty big, you know, this is a pretty big topic, obviously, and there's a lot of moral implications along with it, too. But, you know, a lot of people have been trying to figure out, you know, ways to live longer and to extend and not have to deal with what all of us will deal with at some point in our lives with mortality. You know, we're all guaranteed one thing. We come into this world naked and we go out usually naked on a table and, you know, get put in a box or get buried or burned up or, you know, something in between. You know, that's guaranteed in life. You know, you're going to come in one way and you're going to go out another. But if there's even a tiny chance that singularity could arrive, do you think that this is something that you would want to explore? And again, would it be the worst possible thing that could happen to humanity? So, you know, it's going to be one of those things where at some point in the future, I have no doubt that they're going to come up with a way to do this. At what level? I don't know. Or is it going to be the new, you know, everyone was freezing themselves before, right? Is that going to be the new rage where you need several billion dollars to be able to actually download everything and move off into the digital space? So anyway, it's kind of an interesting topic, and I know this is a one that's way, way out there, but I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on whether or not you think that we're going to be able to, at some point, download, and if we're going to be able to live in a digital space, And if that was possible, would you do it? Or what are the, you know, from a moral perspective, if you're, depending on where your religious beliefs are, where does that really, where does that really take you? You know, if you're a religious person, you believe when you die, your soul goes to heaven. What if they figured out a way to download your brain? You know, where's that disconnect? So there's, you know, this is a pretty deep topic. And this is the kind of stuff I want to talk about in shows as we're moving forward. I'm not going to talk about these type of topics every show, but I think it's something good for all of us as techies and geeks to kind of explore. And, you know, ultimately, you know, it'd be pretty scary to reside on a hard drive somewhere, because hard drives are notoriously not long term. They crash. And I guess if you're digitally uploaded, you'd want to be backed up in multiple locations. But there'll be factions out there that want to destroy those digital archives because of the morality of it. So there's all kinds of topics, but I'd love to hear you guys' feedback. I'll have the link up to the article in on ours about this, because there's definitely an argument being taken place by several parties on this. And many folks are not convinced that singularity will ever arrive, but we'll see. And I do think that if singularity was able to arrive, it would have stunning consequences for humanity, and maybe not all so good. But, you know, what if you're going to go to space? You know, if you can be uploaded, put on a mainframe, and then sent to, you know, another world, you could even be dormant. And when you got there, if you landed at a place that had an advanced species, you might be able to be downloaded into an alien. Would that be cool or what? So, you know, there's all kinds of things here. And, you know, love to hear you guys' thoughts and feedback on this. But these are some of the kind of cool topics I want to talk about throughout this year. And if you have a topic you think would be kind of cool to explore and to talk as a ohana, love to hear you guys' feedback. geeknews@gmail.com. On a more geeky side, secret backdoor found in firewall VPN gear from Barracuda Networks. A variety of firewall and spam filtering gear sold by Barracuda contains an undocumented backdoor account that allows people, maybe probably Big Brother, to remotely log in and access sensitive information. Researchers with an Austrian security firm have warned. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Barracuda Networks, I think I'd have some explaining to do, especially if I had their gear in my data center. This is a very, very serious accusation, and what's really crazy is that this backdoor has a very weak password to log in, and it just uses the product's name as the username. No response from Barracuda on this. I guess there is a way to do this. Now, Barracuda has said that an attacker with specific internal knowledge of Barracuda appliances may be able to remotely log in to a non-privileged account on an appliance from a small set of IP addresses and with a rating of medium. Now, why they would have left this in there, who knows? But I think this is a pretty bad thing by the folks at Barracuda Networks, and I'm sure we'll hear more about this as it goes on. Hey, everyone's really excited and really curious about some things that Google are doing. Google's testing a new wireless network and has asked the FCC to keep the details secret. So we talked a little bit about this on the last show, but a lot of people are really digging into this and trying to get some details on what's going on. Now, the details of the application for an experimental license is contained in a two-paragraph description accompanying it. Google plans to test up to 50 base stations and 200 user devices, and Base stations will be indoors and outdoors with a range of 100 to 200 meters and 500 to 1,000 meters respectively. Both directional and non-directional antennas will be used. The experiment is to take place within a 2-mile radius. So this is a pretty dense network for, you know, up to 200, up to 50 base stations within a 200-mile radius. Now, they're going to be using a frequency of 2524 to 2546 and 2567 to 2625 megahertz, which is also the same exact frequency used by Clearwire for mobile broadband. And this is may be because they're buying some off-the-shelf hardware, but Google has not revealed the output power of these devices. But this should be a very curious experiment, and it makes you wonder if Google is basically doing some tests to see how it's going to rule out fiber type access. And, you know, maybe they're trying to say, okay, if we can put this layer up, and just think about this. If you could buy, if you were in a city and you could buy a base station for a couple $100 and install that base station at your house, and then your neighbor down the street bought one of those base stations and put it in, and those could all be interlinked together to build a community network, that would be pretty incredible, especially if they were able to push the type of speeds through that you would need to have a good service. But it's all about density and access points, and so I'm just wondering if this is what Google's trying to experiment with, trying to figure out, okay, what's a cheaper way to roll a much higher speed internet service, and probably a lot cheaper. You know, if they gave, if this is in a 2-mile radius and they gave 50 base stations in a dense populated area, it'd be very cheap. You know, you plug the device into your outlet in your home and you probably get free access for the power you're utilizing, and it could be pretty incredible, especially if they only had to bring fiber to 50 of those homes, and then everyone else in the neighborhood could connect to that wireless network and get that high wireless speed. So maybe that's the reason for the density. You know, this is Todd really thinking out of the box here on where this could be going and what they could be doing, but I think Google's being very smart, trying to figure out how they can bring much higher speed broadband internet to the rest of the country and get us out of this doggone slow pace of, bandwidth speeds. Well, the need for speed is here. You know, I'm looking here, and you know, here's this is sick. I'm here in a hotel. I have my Verizon MiFi. I have my Virgin Mobile MiFi. I have a Clearwire modem with me, so I got three separate internet connections with me, and trying to push video and do what I need to do, and still I know I do not have enough bandwidth, and this is just really disgusting. It drives me absolutely crazy with the quality. So I'm going to ask the chat room, how's the video quality tonight? Because I'm looking at the speed that's being pushed, and I'm sure it's choppy as heck, and so we need more speed in this country, and that's for sure. All right, Apple shares are down 12%. Boy, a bunch of fear mongers out there, but one thing's for sure: when earnings are flat, people that own stock get really, really scared. Hey, pretty cool topic here. Off-the-shelf AR glasses are being used to restore depth perception to the partially blind. So this is pretty exciting stuff here. This is helping the partially blind by using a pair of Vuzic AR glasses to help those that are partially blind to restore depth perception. Some pretty cool science going on there with that, and some unique things being done. Just in time for the Super Bowl, boy, I tell you, lots of TVs are going to be going on sale. So the question is, are you going to be buying a new television to watch the Super Bowl on, and I'm here over at USA Today, and they are crushing me with ads. What is the deal with this? Goodness gracious. I'm not going to probably put this up in the show notes, but they're saying that TVs as big as 70 inches are going to be available for $527 from a variety of sources. So if you're looking to make that jump, this may be the time to buy that television, that new digital television. NASA's also testing vintage Apollo 11 rocket engines for ideas for new U.S. missions. This is pretty cool. One of the engines that was originally designed to go with Apollo 11 into orbit in 1969, which they had some problems with the engine, which did not make the final lift, is being used right now at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center, and they've been completing a series of test firings to basically study it and basically come up with new designs for new rocket motors. And this is kind of cool what they're doing with that. So I have a link up in the show notes on that. California is really hammering by a new retroactive tax on tech startup investors. Of course, California has been in the news a lot by a lot of people that make a lot of money deciding to leave the state because the tax has just gotten too high, where they've just basically asked for too much. But there's a lot of stuff going on right now where a lot of small businesses and investors are going to get hammered hard with a retroactive tax bill. But basically, they're just going to go back and take money. They're not going to, basically, what you paid already was enough. You want more. And it's having huge, huge implications in California. And from friends I'm hearing here in Texas, the Austin startup space is booming. It's becoming the new Silicon Valley, largely because of some of these tax issues that are going on in California. And it just, you think about it. When people get taxed too much, people get pissed. And, if you are of the financial resources, you just say, I'm out of here. I'm gone. Move to a state that isn't taxing so much. And, people that have that type of income can up and move. And guess what? If they can save themselves 10, 15% on the amount of taxes they're paying, they probably pay for their move in a single year. And they just leave the state, and those tax revenues are gone forever. So we'll see how long this is able to be withstood in California and how much of an effect it has on other states that implements these kinds of things over the next few years. Those of you that are watching on the stream on Geek News Central, I can tell that the data rate is really, really down. I apologize about the speed tonight. Maybe not getting the kind of quality that you need. Those of you that are watching, apologize about that. GEMA has taken down Kim.com's Mega Launch Party video, despite Kim.com having all songs cleared. And so they had the Mega Launch video removed from YouTube, and there's a dispute there. So once again, Mega's under attack, even though Mega had all the songs licensed. So it's not surprising that battle's continuing. Hey, there's a lot of news out recently about all these companies having agreements not to hire each other's employees. And there's a good article over in TechDirt talking about some tactics that Steve Jobs and other companies used, where they threatened different companies that they would sue them over patent issues if they poached Apple employees or vice versa. And if I was an employee at Apple, and I knew that there was an agreement, essentially illegal agreements made, to basically keep my ability from being hired into a new job, having that limited because of some backroom argument and agreement and threats, I think I would be pissed beyond belief. This goes back as early as August of 2007. And the gamesmanship to keep employees was incredible. And there's a big class action lawsuit that's going on right now where they are basically going after these folks in antitrust litigation. And I hope these employees win this. I hope they are able to hurt these companies in a big way that practiced this type of activities, this anti-poaching activities, and basically kept these folks from able to earn a better income. It's really, it's pretty disgusting. And you just wonder how deep that type of activity really goes. Hey, on the aviation side, the Boeing Dreamliner investigation focuses on basically batteries, of course, and saw some pictures today of the damage area of a 787, and this is pretty incredible picture. I did not know the extent of these battery meltdowns, and I'll be straight up. Having been involved in aviation for a number of years, having seen batteries go into thermal runaway, Boeing has a big, big issue with their battery manufacturer. They are going to have to get this under control immediately, or they are going to be facing some very, very serious issues. You know, this is growing pains, obviously, but they definitely have some problems with these batteries. And boy, oh boy, just looking at this picture, they've been lucky so far. This could have turned really, really bad. You can see, let me just show you this image. If you haven't seen this, this is incredible. It's an incredible picture. Let me take the green screen out of this. I have the link up in the show notes, and it's just charred. And of course, if Jack was watching the show tonight, or Jack, if you're listening, go over and look at this. And if you're a pilot in command and see this kind of damage done in an avionics rack, don't tell me this just wouldn't give you a nightmares. I'm going to tell you, folks, this is very, very serious. I've seen batteries do some pretty amazing things, but I've never seen anything like this. These airplanes are grounded for good reason. And I would be very cautious in getting on a 787 at this point until they get this this battery issue fixed. It's not pretty in the least. And they're going to have to get this figured out in a hurry. They really are. But my recommendation is stay off a 787 until they get this battery issue dealt with. Hey, Microsoft is reporting quarter two 2013 earnings have $21.5 billion with $6.38 billion in profit. They sold 60 million plus Windows 8 licenses to date. 60% of enterprise desktops worldwide are now on Windows 7. OEM revenue outperformed x86 PC market, and non-OEM revenue grew 40% with Windows 8 upgrade Surface, and volume licensing grew in double digits. So they had a pretty big quarter, and Peter Klein says that the 60% of computers worldwide are running Windows 7, while the companies manage, again, to push out 60 million Windows 8 licenses, and So they are worried about the impact of non-x86 machines in the market, meaning Apple machines. So basically they're taking notice of stuff going on, and they're saying that they're going to have a lot more Surface computers out soon that will basically bring the price down. Hey, I want to go a little bit retro with you here for just a few seconds, and some of you will laugh when you see this this next image. But how many of you back in the day spent a lot of money on very expensive cassette tapes? I'm looking at some of these tapes here that they have in this picture, the Maxell XL2, the Sony Metal XR60, the TDK SA60, which was a favorite of mine. I was buying those cassette tapes as by the box fill back in the day when we were doing mixtapes. And I'm going to tell you, those tapes still today are extremely, reliable from a recovery standpoint. Putting that stuff, the CD, they really had some pretty amazing technology that went into cassette stuff back in the day. But just had to laugh. Today, when you go out and buy a CD, it's a CD, it's a CD, it's a CD, right? Or DVDs, a DVD, it's DVD. You don't have the TDK SA60, the Sony Metal XR, the Max L XL2. Nothing sexy like that. Nice wrappers and branding and, you know, very cool logos and, you know, nothing like that. You now have just CD from TDK or Sony, or there's nothing special about that stuff. Kind of wish there was. It brings back some memories. All right, Vine, the app was released today, and people are doing some pretty stupid things with it. I saw some of the videos. They're like taking pictures of their desktops, and but they do some interesting technology. The videos are limited to a 6-second loop, and what it does is it takes pictures. As you take a video, it then chops it up, boom, 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 in a bunch of GIFs, and it plays it back. And again, the video max out at 6 seconds, but it basically does a loop. And let me show you here. This is an article that's over on The Verge. And for those of you not watching, let me describe this for you. You got a guy that is basically chopping up some food, and he's putting it in a to-go box, squirting some sauce on it, and then it loops it right back into, and this is someone's food wagon or something. But basically, this is what the Vine videos look like. They're just real short, 6-second clips, and again, they're chopped up, and it's kind of like this, a quick rerun is what it kind of looks like, and it loops. So we'll see where this goes. From a utilization standpoint, but again, this is out and available now for all of you that that want to definitely try it and use it. Another article over in BitTorrent, they're working on a personal file sync app to compete with Dropbox, so this is pretty cool. They're working on an app called Sync that uses peer-to-peer technology to sync your files between your devices, and the company announced a pre-alpha test of Sync on its blog. It also launched its BitTorrent Labs website that offers additional details about this and other projects it's working on. As I said, on our next show, we're going to be using BitTorrent to push the stream, and it should be a very interesting show to see if it can actually work. Hey, New York Times editor has basically took a severance payment to leave the New York Times, and he's taken 75,000 of his Twitter users with him. So this brings up a discussion point of who owns your followers when you are tweeting and using your work account, primarily basically using your Twitter account for work promotion and stuff. So basically New York Times says, well, it's just his followers. He gets to take them with him. But it's kind of an interesting dilemma. That's one thing that we have at Raw Voice. We've got company-specific accounts, so if someone ever leaves, we don't have to worry about those followers leaving with that specific employee. What else have I got here for you tonight? I'm going to wrap this up. Oh, Samsung's Q4 2012 financials, $8.27 billion operating profit on $52.45 billion in revenue. So don't tell me Samsung isn't putting some money in the bank. 8.2, and you do the math on that, $52 billion. So let's look at it from a, let's just double it and do it quick. So 102, 104 on 16. So, you know, they're 14, 15% profit margin on revenue. Pretty doggone good. Pretty doggone good, if you ask me. So I see that lawsuit really hurt them. They can afford to pay that fine. All right, last couple articles here. Facebook immediately blocked the Vine's friend finding feature. Not only that, Facebook today blocked Yandex, a new social search app, for accessing its data just 3 hours after it launches. These companies are closing the loop, folks. They're keeping us locked in. They're not going to let you move around. They don't want your data escaping. They don't want you going anywhere. And Facebook is doing everything they can to keep you locked in to their site and not allow you to use third-party services to access data within their network. Why am I not surprised? All right, that's going to wrap me up here tonight. Again, a relatively quick show tonight, 60 minutes or so. And again, I want you guys to drop me a line on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can call the hotline at 619-342-7365. We want to hear your feedback. Let's talk about some of these deep topics we've talked about during today's show. And we just keep everyone abreast what's going on. And really, email has been dried up here for the past week or so. So hopefully the email will start kicking. I'm trying to engage your guys' brain. Bring new followers to the show. Tell them about the podcast. Tell them we're going to be talking about some deep topics periodically on the show. And as you guys will notice, as we go into 2013, the focus on the show is going to change just a little. I've made some decisions. And I think you guys are going to like it. We're going to try to, I guess for a better word, repersonalize the show. It's important to me to do that. I think the show lost a little bit of that over the past couple of years. And I wanted to personalize it more here for you. And hopefully the bandwidth will allow me to do stuff live that we haven't been able to do in the past. And we keep our fingers crossed. Tonight, I think the Amazon stream basically went down the crapper. I don't think it did well. But everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed to the show. Spread the word. Thank you for being part of the Ohana. Until next time, we'll see you. Take care and aloha.